And so, as we said, the Emergency Savings Fund, it's got the three purposes. It's protection from unexpected expenses, it's peace of mind, and it's just maintaining your financial stability, right? Another way to say that is it prevents the real-world emergency from turning into a financial emergency. Welcome to Service and Wealth, the podcast dedicated to helping military personnel master their finances and achieve financial freedom. Our mission is to guide you through the ins and outs of planning, saving, and investing, and most importantly, how to balance savings so you can enjoy life now and retire with confidence. Hey, welcome back. This is the Service and Wealth podcast with the Military Wealth Coach. I'm Ted Ehlert, your host. This is our third podcast episode, and today we're going to try to do something a little different. Honestly, you already figured that out because you're looking at my face. Thought we'd try to video this one, and then we can upload it to YouTube in addition to putting the audio file up on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So just trying to provide more ways to get the content out there and find more ways for you guys out there to actually get to it, you know, depending on if you want to see it or not. And the one thing that's not changing this week is, yeah, as I said in the previous couple podcast episodes, we're going lo-fi. And so we're still lo-fi this week when we go video-fi. So it's video, low-video-fi, vi-lo-fi. We got to come up with an acronym because military, that's what we do. We come up with acronyms, right? And as always, love to get comments and feedback from you. You know, you can always email us. It's coach@military-wealth.com. Or you can DM us on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. Where else are we? X, Facebook. We're across all the platforms. The best way to find that is you can go to www.militarywealthcoach.com. And you'll see right under our welcome video and above the fold, you'll see icons for all our socials. And you can just click on those. It'll take you to our account. You can follow us. Encourage you to subscribe so you don't miss any updates. And also, when you're on the website, please subscribe there so that you can get emails, periodic emails. We are offering chances for you to sign up for a free consultation where you can tell us about your money pain points. And we'll see how we could possibly help you. And also, you know, that way, obviously, you're going to get updates each week to new blog posts and when new podcasts or other content comes out, you'll get the updates so you can stay on top of it. And all right, so episode 3 for the podcast, what are we going to talk about this week? Well, as promised, we're going to talk about the Emergency Savings Fund. Some people like to call it Emergency Fund. I think it's better to call it an Emergency Savings Fund because when you call it put the word savings in there, it says, this is special. Don't touch it. You know, it's got to be separate, not just emergency fund. Like, oh yeah, I've got $1,000 stashed away. Well, if it's in your checking account, there's a pretty good chance that some months you dip into it and spend it. And that's not savings. So, and it's definitely not going to help you out for an emergency if the emergency comes up and you've spent it. So that's why we call it an emergency savings fund. You'll see it as ESF, you know, the abbreviation in our book or our other content. And we actually did, back on June 8th, we posted on our blog about the Emergency Savings Fund and kind of really tried to start the conversation early about what it is and why you need one, why you have one. As a quick survey, all right, just take a minute and ask yourself honestly. You can raise your hand, even though I can't see you. You can see me. Raise your hand if you started an Emergency Savings Fund when you got your first job. Raise your hand when you join the military if you started an emergency savings fund. Okay, just if anybody for any reason had an emergency savings fund in their 20s. Is there anybody? Anybody? No? No? All right. Not me. Not me either, right? I'm going to raise my hand and say, hey, you know, look, coach, I didn't start an emergency savings fund until my late 30s after I was married and had a kid. And after we had kind of gone all in onto this movement of controlling our debts, getting rid of car payments, all that other stuff, buying assets, increasing our income, because we were driving used cars at this point. And when you have like a 2005 or 2007, it doesn't matter. It's old, right? CRV, you know, at any point, something like that can go. And so you start to realize, well, if I have to replace that, you know, each year, and in 2024, you know, the average used car payment per month in America is like $520. So that's over $6,000 a year, right? And so, you know, if I have a $6,000 used car, it's only got to last me more than a year, and it's a better deal than making those car payments on that used car. A new car or a leased car in 2024, the average is $710, and that's $8,500 a year. So now I can drive, you know, an $8,000 used car, and it's only got to last me 12 months. And if it breaks, I can buy a new one, and I'm still spending less on that car than I would be if I was making loan or lease payments on a newer one. And if it lasts 2 years, right, then I'm obviously ahead, and, you know, it's probably not going to break every 2 years. And so, you know, in the case of having that emergency savings fund, we realized, wow, the last time the car broke down and had an $1,100 suspension job we had to do, we had to put that on the credit card, and then we barely put together the payment on it that month. We almost had credit card debt just because we didn't have the savings, you know? And so that is one of the main reasons why you need an emergency savings fund. And, you know, it's for that financial stability and peace of mind. And, you know, it's also just protection. Really, the number one reason why you have an emergency savings fund is not just to put money in the bank or to get it when you need it. It's to avoid debt, right? That's it. You need to stay out of debt. You can't be getting credit card debt. You can't be getting payroll loans. You can't rack up consumer lines of credit and other expensive debt. And what makes this kind of debt special is that even if you get an introductory low APR, 0% APR for the first year on your credit card, and you're like, cool, I can make a big purchase and I can just let it ride. Let's say you buy, you know, you really want a gaming computer. So you spend like, you know, $2,000 on a really nice gaming computer. Maybe that's not really nice. Maybe that's just a decent gaming computer. And you just buy it with your new credit card that has the 0% APR, and you're like, oh, that's easy. You're making the monthly payments that are like $40 or $50, and you're not really thinking about it. And at the end of the first year, you know, you still owe like $1,700 on that credit card, and you get the next bill, and that APR has suddenly jumped to 24.99%. Now you're in trouble. You know, now if you want to pay that off in the next year, it's not going to cost you $1,700 to pay a balance off. It's going to cost you $2,500 or more. So that's a real problem. Now, obviously, buying a gaming computer is not an emergency. That's sort of like a, hey, I like to have it. So what we teach at the Military Wealth Coach is something like that is just save for it. You can't, if you don't have the cash right now, you can't buy it. You can't afford it. Save the cash until you have enough. And once you have the $2,000 in your bank account, then swipe the credit card and then pay your credit card bill back. But unexpected expenses, emergencies, are not things you can just, you know, you can't see the future and then save for it. Be like, well, I'm going to save $8,000 because I know my 2007 Honda CRV is going to break down in, you know, November of 2024. We're like, whatever, right? Like, nobody knows that. So you just have to have an emergency savings fund in case that does happen, or for when it does happen, or for when your phone stops working because you can't function. You can't even, you know, in the military, you can't even get word anymore. You don't even know what time to show up for morning PT formation if you're not on the group text. Like, you need a phone. You need a smartphone, and you need to be plugged in. So that's if one of those things happens, you know, lose the car, lose the phone, Those are real life emergencies, you know? And if you don't have the cash saved for it and you have to use a credit card and rack up debt, the real life emergency becomes a financial emergency. And that's where, you know, that's where the emergency savings fund comes in the middle. You have this real world emergency and it's hurtling towards you and it's about to multiply and become a financial emergency, but your emergency savings fund is there. And that's, it protects you against the unexpected expenses. It gives you that peace of mind knowing that you have the cash. And that's really what, you know, 90%, 95%, maybe 90, I don't know, probably not 100%, but close to it, of people everywhere, not just in the military, but Americans in general, get wrong about their emergency savings. And the whole point of it is that it's to give you protection and financial stability. You know, let's just look, for example, if you have this great savings plan, let's say you sign up for a free consultation, you went to a website, you clicked on the sign up for a free consultation, I call you up and you tell me your financial pain points and your goals. And we agree to work together, put you on a 2-year plan. And in that 2-year plan, it's going to accomplish for you 3 things. It's going to free up an extra $1,000 a month of cash flow. And with that $1,000 a month, you're going to pay off your credit card debt. And then you're going to save enough cash to put a down payment on your first house using a VA loan. And you can do that, right? In just 2 years with a simple plan like that. Well, let's say all of a sudden that you know, like when lightning doesn't strike twice, but then it actually does in the most inconvenient ways. Like you'd almost rather be hit by lightning twice than to have the sort of, you know, metaphorical lightning hit you twice. And so let's say you get in a car accident and the car is totaled. It like bursts into flame. You escape, everything's fine, but you forgot your phone in it, right? And not only that, but you forgot like a roll of $500 in cash, right? So now you've got like a $10,000 dumpster fire all because of some bad luck. Well, if you don't have the cash, now that $1,000 that you had in your financial plan that you were saving up to buy a house, now all of a sudden, all that money gets redirected. A whole year's worth of savings gets redirected into paying for this really unfortunate accident of replacing the car, replacing the phone, you know, paying, just restoring your cash. You know, maybe you're on the way to the airport to fly home at Thanksgiving to see your family. And because you couldn't make it and you didn't insure your ticket, you lost $1,000 from the ticket too, right? Like sometimes bad things happen. And if you don't have emergency savings, then they go from bad things to bad money things. And in this case we're going through, if this person did not have emergency savings fund, they're now having to pay for all of this with debt on a credit card. And then the $1,000 a month that they were going to save for the next year so they could buy a house instead goes to paying off that credit card. So now not only are they out the money, but they're out the dream. They were going to have to wait another 1 or 2 years just to fulfill their dream of buying their first house, right? And that sucks. And that's why you need the emergency savings fund. But why do people get it wrong? Okay, and that's really what we need to tackle here. And we're going to do it very simply. Take 5 seconds and just blurt out what you've learned, to how you have learned to answer this question. How much should you have in your emergency savings fund? Time's up. How many of you said 3 to 6 months worth of income or 3 to 6 months worth of expenses? I would have said that, right? I would have said that a while ago, a long time ago, like 5, 10 years ago, I would have said that. And my guess is that, you know, 9 out of 10, if not 10 out of 10 of you said that as well, because that's what you've heard. That's what you've been told. Not only have you been told that by, you know, social media, Instagram accounts, TikTok, but you probably, you know, your parents probably told you that. And worse still is your seniors and your mentors at your unit in the military probably told you that. Well, I'm here to tell you that's wrong. Okay, it's wrong for one major reason. The only reason why they say 3 to 6 months expenses or income is what you should have saved for emergencies is that the following applies to you. You could show up on Monday and lose your job. And with it, your paycheck. And not be able. So that's part one. Part two is then you also can't find a job for 3 to 6 months. Like, that's where that number comes from, is that you could lose your job and not be able to get a new one for 3 to 6 months. So you need that money so you can, you know, just use it up. Hopefully not. Hopefully you go much slower, but that's the advice. Well, what's wrong with that in the military? Well, we're all on like a minimum 4-year contract. If you're an officer, you are essentially on a 20-year contract, or maybe even 25 or 30, right? You have to do something really bad to not be able to serve a full military career. It's a little different for the enlisted because every 4 years, you know, you have to apply for reenlistment and get tiered out and have the service decide if they want you. And so it's not as much of a sure thing. But at the same time, if you have guaranteed employment for 4 years at a chunk, if you have the ambition to serve for more than the next, you know, 12 months, then this advice doesn't really work for you. Or it doesn't apply. It doesn't apply to you, right? It will apply once you get into the last 12 to 18 months of service and you're thinking about getting out. So maybe if you're in your first term, maybe if you're a young officer, a first lieutenant, second lieutenant, ensign, JG, somewhere in there, and you're like, I signed up to do my turn and I'm out of here after my contract. Okay, now you need to make sure that, yes, you are starting to save up at least 3 months worth of living expenses to reach that goal by the time that you leave the service. And it's even, you know, it's not even that straightforward, because let's say you're enlisted and let's say you're, you're a young specialist and you're coming up to the end of or let's say you just re-enlisted, right, as a specialist. It's the start of your second enlistment and you get some orders and you're like, whoa, I'm going to have to tough this out for 2 more years, but I'm not going to make this a career, but I do have my GI Bill. And when I get out, I'm going to go to school. And in fact, I'm going to start right now and I'm going to take some classes and get credits so I can, you know, blast through college as soon as I get out. Well, when you get out, the GI Bill is going to pay you BAH. It's going to cover a lot of your living expenses. So even then, even if you're not employed, right, you're still going a route that you're not without income. If you are going to go home and take over the family business, if you're going to take over the family farm or work for the family company, and it doesn't even have to be a family, right? I have had many Marines who 2 to 3 years into their first enlistment already had jobs lined up for the next step, right? They were things like the employer's like, oh yes, well, you're in the Marine Corps, you obviously have the commitment and the character and the integrity that of someone we want in our firm. So we're going to sign you to an employment contract. You have a guaranteed job with us when you get out. In all these cases, you're just wasting money if you're just socking away, you know, 3 to 6 months worth of income and expenses. If you're putting away, you know, if you're a E4, E5, and you're putting anywhere from $15,000 to $20,000 in the bank just because somebody told you to, but you have guaranteed job, guaranteed income, and you have no liabilities, that's oversaved. You shouldn't be putting that much in the bank, maybe half of that, and the rest should be invested in actually making you money, right? And so the 3 to 6 month expense thing applies to certain situations. And one more comment on that before we move on. Let's say that you are, let's say you're an E7 and you're about 2 or 3 years away from retiring. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, I should probably start building up my 3 to 6 month expense in my emergency fund. And so, you know, that's going to be, and you do the math and you're like, wow, I kind of need to save $40,000. No, let's round it up. Let's make $50,000 into my emergency savings fund just so I'm prepared for when I retire from the military at 20, in case I don't have a job, in case I don't have the VA disability rating, you know, that I expect, whatever. And so you start saving because you're like, well, that's coming up in 3 years. So I need to save like $1,000 a month to get there. So you start saving. And once you get there, you think, oh, I'm all set. Well, you still have to consider what the possible financial emergencies could be in your life. Now, if you're, you know, in the case of this E7, if they own a paid off car and they own their home, but it's relatively new, or maybe it's a condo, maybe they own a condo and, you know, they're stationed in Washington or Virginia Beach, you know, and they just have like a condo that most of the maintenance is done by the association. So there's very little they have to personally worry about. Maybe that money's enough, right? That $40,000 is enough, because if that E7 can't get a job, they can start tapping into the $40,000 to pay their expenses. And if something happens, like they have to replace their car, you know, they can go out and grab like a $7,000 used Honda or Toyota and still be okay. They'll still be like on track. But what if this E7 has a leased SUV, has, you know, a relatively nice car that they're paying payments on, like an auto loan for their kid, for their, you know, their 17-year-old kid who hasn't gone off to college yet or whatever. And what if they own like 3 or 4 properties? They can't only plan for the 3 to 6 months of expenses in their emergency fund because they have all these other liabilities. And so if there's, it could happen, you know, it's not unheard of. It could happen that like you retire, you're sitting there, you think everything's good, you're living off of your savings, you're like, okay, 6 months, I've got this made with my pension kicking in, we can extend it a little bit farther and we can take some trips. And then all of a sudden you get a leaking roof in one of your rental properties, the air conditioner, HVAC blows up like in your house, and you know, somebody crashes into your kid's car. Not, well, you know, well, he or she's not in it, like the car's just parked, you know, on the street or whatever, and somebody slams into it. Well, now you have to ask yourself, is my emergency savings fund enough to spend, you know, $15,000 to replace the HVAC, $10,000 to replace the car, and call it, you know, $6,000 to patch the roof and still sustain you? Or are you going to have to, as a result of these real world emergencies, because you didn't have enough of an emergency savings fund in the middle, they've smashed through and become financial emergencies? So that's the kind of planning that you have to do. And so, as we said, the emergency savings fund, it's got the three purposes. It's protection from unexpected expenses, it's peace of mind, and it's just maintaining your financial stability, right? Another way to say that is it prevents the real world emergency from turning into a financial emergency. And so with that in mind, then instead of just, you know, swallowing the, which pill is it? The blue pill? Is the blue pill the one where you keep going? And I mean, I feel like the Matrix is even a little bit old for me to remember. so who knows who's listening or watching this, what they think about it. But if you take the blue pill and just follow the 3 to 6 months expenses advice for your emergency savings fund, you could end up in a not just a real world emergency, but a financial emergency because you've misplanned, right? And so with that in mind, what we're going to do is we're going to wrap this episode up by just giving you some very key points. And I'm going to look at some of my notes because I made a little table. You can find it in our book, Service and Wealth. That's service as in like service member, but service and wealth, which is available in paperback or Kindle from Amazon. You just look it up. And in there is a whole section on how to properly plan your emergency savings fund. And we've got a table in there. And so I'm just going to reference some of the things off of it. Okay. So it's not so much your salary when you're in the military. It's not so much your salary that depends on or that direct dictates what you save up in your emergency savings. It's your lifestyle and what you're doing, right? So as your rank increases, with that, you're also getting older, which means you've probably done what? Probably got married, maybe added some kids, became a homeowner. You've clearly got at least 2 cars. Maybe you own a rental property and maybe your kids are getting in college, right? Like, the higher up you go in rank, you're also getting older and you're getting more stuff and you have more people depending on you. And so your emergency savings fund can increase. It can increase with rank, but also with life circumstances, right? So it's like two things. So here's an example of what I mean by that. If you are an E3, okay, you're an E3. Let's say you are Fort Bragg, and I think isn't Fayetteville, North Carolina, isn't that close to, is that right? I think that's like a pretty nice town near Fort Bragg where people live. So let's say they're affordable houses, right? Like that's one of the things when we talk about housing in later episodes, like one of the great things is you hear everything about affordability of housing, but it's not like we're stationed in downtown New York City, right? Where it's like $1 million for 500 square feet. You can get a really good little, you know, single family home for, let's say, like $150,000, $175,000, right? So let's say you're an E3, you're married, and you've got a little baby at home. You bought the house with a VA loan. You're getting your BAH. Your partner works as well. So you have two cars, right? You're just an E3. You're just an E3, and your base pay is like $25,000 a year. And you're getting like 40, 45 when you include BAH. You're going to need like $20,000 in your emergency savings. Why? Because you're a homeowner and you own two cars. So like in the worst case is like, you know, something from like the Simpsons intro where you're both like driving home at the same time and crash into each other and go through the garage, right? Like hopefully that never happens, but I've heard of a lot of weirder things happening in the military. but you might need like 20 grand, right? And that's just in case you have a crazy thing where you have to, in 1 month, you have to replace the HVAC and you have to buy a new car because your car died. Like right there, you're already looking at $12,000 to $15,000 and you don't want to put that on a credit card. So you might need $20,000. Now let's take that over and let's look at like a single O3, like a single captain or Navy lieutenant who, you know, let's make it even a little bit more wild. It's a single Navy F-18 pilot. And like she owns a motorcycle. She's stationed in Southern California, so she doesn't need to worry about rain. And she just rents. She doesn't want to deal with homeownership, so she just rents a room from her friend who's got a decent little condo that has a harbor view in San Diego. So she doesn't own property. She has a motorcycle. And then everything else is just, you know, she just lives fast and flies fast and drives fast. Well, she might only need like $10,000 or $12,000 in her emergency savings fund because the only liabilities that she could have, things that could become financial emergencies if she didn't have the cash to pay for it, is replacing that motorcycle and like her phone. So you can see that's why it's so misleading to try to base your emergency savings on rank or salary, because it has nothing to do with that until you get to the very end of your career, in which case it's still indirect, right? It's still your expenses. If you can see how somebody whose base pay is like $80,000 to $100,000 with no liabilities, if they followed the 3 to 6 month rule, they would be saving like $50,000 when they only need like 10. And somebody who only makes $50,000, $50,000 worth of potential liabilities with their two cars and their house, they need to have more cash. And so, you know, we go through in service to wealth and in that section and specifically in this table is we just kind of break it down like lower rank E1 to E4, then you get into like E5 to E7. So it's not perfectly like junior enlisted, NCO, staff NCO. And then like, you know, O1, O2s, then you bring in like senior enlisted E8s, E9s, and O3s, and maybe some of like the warrants, like warrant one, warrant two, maybe warrant three. These are people of similar chapters in their life, right? They're similar ages. They're relatively similar salaries, but more than anything, they're similar ages. You know, they're either, you're either really young, like late teens, 2021, your early 20s, which are the NCOs and the young officers, and then, you know, it goes up, people in their early to mid 30s, doesn't matter what rank you wear on your collar, you're all generally in the same lifestyle chapter of getting married, having kids, owning a house, right? In your 20s, you're probably owning a car, single. In your 40s, you know, you're much more complicated than that. So, you know, once you get above the rank of 04, like, or W5, or, you know, you're a 25-year E9, then things get more expensive and more complicated. But we kind of walk through in that, and you start out with your base case, which is like, I own nothing. I just need enough cash that I don't have to, if I need to travel home, I don't have to get debt for that. And that can be as little as $2,000, right? So a brand new E1, the very first savings goal they'll ever have is $2,000 for an emergency savings fund. That'll be enough for a plane ticket home and a new phone, right? That's it. That's where they start. So wherever you are in your military career, you can actually write that down just as a question and check yourself. Do I have $2,000 for an emergency savings fund? And if you do, your foot's in the door. Now, as you get older, you're going to add a little bit more to that, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 as your base amount. And again, that's assuming you don't own vehicles, you don't own property, you don't have family. That's just to cover as you now have to replace a phone and a laptop or something like that. You know, or maybe you want to fly home business class. I don't, whatever. And then once you get a car, right? For anybody out there who's a Bigger Pockets fan, you know, Brandon Turner, Beardy Brandon used to say, all you need in a car is $8,000. And anything more expensive than that, you're just paying for ego. And I think it's true. So the guidance here for the emergency savings fund is really like, once you go from that first life step of just the base and you now own a car, add $8,000 to your emergency savings fund. Because if that car breaks, that's what you need to replace it. Add a house, a family, et cetera, it goes up. And, you know, we kind of say like, if you're, you know, if you're 18, 19 years, you probably want to look anywhere from getting into like the $50,000 to $80,000 range of assets available. It doesn't all have to be in cash or all in savings, but like you should be looking at your life, and that's sort of like the highest level possible that you might need to get to that money. But that is an extreme case. In a lot of cases in the military, you're probably going to be just looking at the numbers here. The $15,000 to $20,000 range is probably the sweet spot for like 90% of the military, all right? But again, look at your life situation and calculate it. All right, and then the last thing for today, so we can wrap this up in time, where do you keep it? There's really only one place to keep your emergency savings fund, and that is in a high-yield savings account. Well, just Google best high-yield savings accounts in 2024, and you'll get a list. And the reason why you should do that is they'll show you an account minimum to open it. They'll show you any fees. You can just compare and shop for yourself and find out what's best for you. You know, for us, we didn't care about the account minimum. We just wanted the best APR or interest rate on an account for our high yield savings fund, high yield savings account. And so that was our criterion. But if you're, you know, an O1, E2, and you're just getting started and you're like, well, I need some place to park $2,000, then you probably want to, you know, pick one that has no account minimum so you can start saving immediately and not have to pay any fees if you don't have the minimum balance. And a high yield savings account is going to pay you right now anywhere from 5% to 5.5% interest, which is great. It's almost like an investment account. And the key with your high yield savings account is that you don't have a checkbook and you don't have a debit card because you can't spend it. It's a savings fund, right? All you want is to be able to log into your account, and if you need it, transfer money out into your checking account so that you can pay for a credit card bill, right? And that's it. That's the simplest way to do it, and to keep it safe, right? Because again, just to say it one more time, the whole point of your emergency savings fund is to prevent a real world emergency from smashing into your finances and becoming a financial emergency. All right. So hopefully you guys learned something today. It's definitely not what you're going to hear on the street. You're not going to hear it in most of, the talk around the water cooler at your unit. Pretty much everybody's going to just be parroting the 3 to 6 months. And like we said, that's not practical. It's not correct. And it's not going to serve you or you and your family's best interests, because it's either going to be too much or it's going to be too little. All right. Well, we ask you, hey, please follow, subscribe to our podcast. Again, our website, head over there, www.militarywealthcoach.com. Opt in there so you can get email reminders when we publish new content, like new blog posts that come out every week, new podcasts. Our podcasts are going to come out every Sunday night, so you can download them Monday morning and listen on your way to work. Blog posts will regularly come out on Wednesdays, although sometimes we'll do some extras when things come up in the news that we think you guys should be paying attention to. And if you opt in on the website, you'll get on our email list, so you'll get a reminder so you don't have to like check back and search for it. And then the other thing that you can do while you're on the website is sign up for a free phone consultation, and we can talk about your money goals and your money pain points and see if we can help you out specifically. And if you're interested in ever doing that kind of call live, I'd love to do a live podcast with anybody who's interested. And what we can do is we'll just talk through the whole thing, record the podcast and put it out there, and then the whole community can listen to us talk through some, you know, what are probably pretty common money questions and money challenges for everybody who's wearing the uniform. So our first podcast, we just talked about some unconventional savings tips in the military. Last week, we talked about the savings order of operations. This week, we talked about your emergency savings fund. And then what ties it all together is from week one, we said, you know, you got to save the correct amount, and then you got to split it between retirement savings and saving for other stuff in life, like fun stuff and big goals like houses and trips and cars. And then, you know, we said in the second week was after you've saved that, you know, the priority is saving that for retirement. And then after that, you start saving for all the other stuff. But what we didn't really talk about was how that actually might look in that split. So next week, what we'll do in episode 4, we'll come back and we'll tie it together, and we'll actually walk through some examples of how to split up your savings in order to do the correct amount for retirement and what you need to save for certain other pre-retirement savings goals. So we'll talk about, we'll call it like balancing act, balancing saving for retirement and saving for real life. All right, guys. Well, thank you. We are out of time for today. Hopefully this has been educational and interesting, and please leave some comments, give some feedback. And until next week, stay financially fit and mission ready.